Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen, broadcasting live from the studio. And Jonathan Mason out there in the trenches all week. What's happening, man?
Man, how are you doing, Don?
Man, I'm fair to partly cloudy, but it's getting better. Getting better, you know. I can't complain.
Right.
It's a lot of interesting stuff going on this morning. A lot of things happening in the city. Star Tribune published an article this morning that said, fog of conflict, Minnesota officials respond to George Floyd protests. Violence helped spread of misinformation. And they cite Mayor Carter as apologizing on Saturday, for saying that 90% of the people they arrested the first night were from out of town, which actually was not the case. That's unfortunate,
right.
But, you know, that's the way things go here sometimes. You know, they spread that misinformation. No, our Minnesota Knights people had nothing to do with anything. So, but anyway, Jonathan, you've been out on the streets. I mean, what's happening where you are? And bring us up to speed on what's going on.
Well, you know, many in the world understand, obviously, that George Floyd got killed.
Yes.
By the Minneapolis Police Department. And it has been so many different things that have came arise within the Minneapolis Police Department, as far as, you know, the Hennepin County, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner, Andrew Baker, not, you know, telling the truth on the autopsy, and people are calling for him to, you know, resign and maybe be even criminally charged.
Yes.
And then, you know, just, you know, like you said, there is a lot of things within the city that people are wanting to address. They're saying, what's up with the leadership? People are saying, you know, Jacob Fry, is he partially to blame? Because the report came out and said that he died in the ambulance when there wasn't even an autopsy done to the body. So a lot of people are saying, well, is this how the system has been for blacks in Minnesota? We know, God, that it has, due to disparities and stuff like that. Whether it's in the media, and that's why we have Our Black News, or whether it's and these numbers are horrendous.
Yes, they are.
And I think that the world is looking in on Minneapolis, and, you know, I'm thankful to be around to see these type of things, but the agenda has to be put forth as far as what does the black community now get, now that everyone understands that all these issues in our community are stemmed, obviously, through racism or oppression and stuff like that. So we have to clean shop, Don, and I think Minneapolis is at the spot where they're in Minneapolis and St. Paul, whether it's, you know, Melvin Carter, and you and me were talking out the air real quick.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. We know many of these black leaders, like Arredondo, Melvin Carter, they will not be back. They will not be back this next time around, more than likely, just due to the fact that they feel like the city has lost control.
You're absolutely right. Keep going. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I think that we're just at a really major time in the world and in America that people are about fed up. You know, there's no second stimulus. We got 45 and basically 44 going back at it. What I call 44 Joe Biden. But they just said last night Joe Biden secured the nomination. So now prepared for our election site,
yeah,
Michael, to start heating up as well. So, Don, I think there's going to be a lot of leadership changes.
As there should be.
Yeah, right. But I think that there's some facets of the system that will remain in place for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree.
No, go ahead.
I would just like to say, you know, too, one of the things that I've been looking closely at, most of the times when we have these incidents in the United States, be it Minneapolis, New York, L.A., wherever, there's a lot of people that get angry. There's a lot of white folks that get angry. And we're back at that point again. They're angry, but what happens now? What happens beyond, you know, this and what's happening and what's going on? Because the kumbaya moments, as we said earlier, they're done.
Right.
You know, that's over with. We don't have time for that anymore. And we really need to make sure that we're at the table as much and as long as we can be there, because, you know, what's been going on is a systematic a cutoff of different things that the black community needs. Jonathan, we're not victims. We're not saying that. We're not saying gimme, and not work for it. But the system is set up in Minnesota where even if you work for it, they'll bypass you. You plan for it, they'll underplan or overplan you. Anything that you need to do. I mean, Minnesota State Agency, you know, that's why we titled the show, you know, get your knees off our neck. It's too long, okay? And we're not gonna be out here protesting all the time. We're going to have to go take it to the boardroom. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you're right. You're totally right. The kumbaya moment of, you know, we're going to protest. Obviously, that's our constitutional right. We're going to use their voice. But after these type of things and as these things are going on, we need to get in these buildings. They're very lucky that it's corona season still, because we're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, like we talked to former senators that came and representatives that came on the show, is that we have to get to the sixth floor. We got to start putting legislation down. We got to start putting an agenda forward. We got to start getting these taxpayer money in our pocket as a community. And whether it's our own media companies, our own businesses, and those days of being undercut when we get the best solution every single time, and they take credit for it, we're done with those.
Exactly.
And so I think that now that we do have the highlight, it cannot stop. It must be put forward. So whether it's a real in-depth look at what's been going on and how we're going to dismantle it, and then as we're dismantling it, rebuilding it at the same time so we can conglomeratively put a plan together that will benefit all communities, but now especially put all the focus in on the black community.
Exactly, and that's what it has to be, because there's too much back and forth. There's too many people in our community. Like, I really like that op-ed by Peter Bell that basically said that the black community now has to reorganize within its ranks, which couldn't be more true and real, because of there's been so much push and tug, you know, between different silos in the black community. And then you have, unfortunately, some people that fall in our community on the political side, or the favorable political side, that get the funding, you know, that always seem to walk away with something from the state or one of these major agencies that don't really benefit the whole community. I mean,
and that was a major thing that you said. And I think right now, Don, the same old in Minneapolis, whether it's the same old, you know, the old activists from the 60s, and I'm not saying activists from the 60s aren't good, but I think there's a new day and era where there's leaders right now. It's 2020.
Yeah.
And people are sophisticated now. Don, yourself, you've always kept yourself technology savvy, and you know, you always been ahead of the curve in those departments, but you know many people a little older than yourself, they have given up in this new era. So they're not able to do Zoom meetings. They're not able to put the information out or frame it correctly. And so now your message is not basically getting out. I'm not saying it's not a good message, but we can't have that same old message. We have to learn how to be educated within this system of technology, of the advancement of all people. And, you know, the former leaders, you know, back in the day, that I'm used to, you know, to run around from place to place and not let anybody get the mic, and they're arguing with you about the silliest things. And if you're conservative a little bit, or you're a little left, but you're in the middle, you're getting beat down by liberals who are in the DFL party and all that stuff right now. Everybody, you know, everybody understands what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that if I could just finish on this one little part, I think that, you know, all these nonprofit groups for so long that have been getting this money, they're feeling threatened because they're saying, hold on, we actually haven't been doing nothing and we're not going to be getting money anymore. And the actual leaders who actually haven't been receiving no money and need the money are going to keep on pushing the agenda forward for not only Minnesota, but for basically the whole world.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And our call-in number this morning is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And we do have a couple people in the queue. Let me see if they're just listening or they want to chat. Caller, you're live on Our Black News, last 42192. Do you have a comment? Oh, they just be listening. So that's the only one I'm going to check. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Yeah, Jonathan, what you said, you know, is actually on point, because there comes at some point where we have to figure out who in our community will write legislation, who in our community will make sure that, you know, the process is followed. You know, there's a lot of brothers out there cooning, I hate to say. And
right, and it's true, that's true.
And they're not on doing for the benefit of our community at all whatsoever. And so when you look at that, I mean, we got great people running for office. There's some more people that are thinking about stepping up and running for office, and I think that's great. But also,
right,
we have to hold these current elected officials totally accountable right now, from now to November.
Yeah.
And, you know, the state legislature is going to get back in session, and there's millions and millions of dollars on the table. And to be honest with you, we weren't really included in the last round before they left. You know, so
right,
what are they going to do now? But we don't want the pandering, you know?
Right. You're 100% right. And I'm so happy. And I know we had John, remember, 67A, John Thompson, DFL endorsed. And that was really a surprise, because a lot of the DFL people that were in these original groups in the past for so long have hated basically on Black men. You know, they say they're for Black men, but then they hate on Black men. And now that John Thompson, he was just in the New York Times as well. I think many seen that article, which was a beautiful article. But what he was talking about was basically exactly what we're talking about, and it's getting inside of the building. We have to create this legislation. We have to oversee the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that are coming in that are available to us regularly each and every year, but go to these groups. And like you said, Doc, no one's worried about a $10, $20, even $1,000 quick payday. We're looking for the benefit of the entire community. And all that stuff comes later. And these nonprofit 501c3 groups have for so long just wanted those quick little paydays, and you pay the director fees, and then you don't do nothing for the community, and then they target and then give you some more money to make it seem like they're helping the Black community. And I think those days are over.
Yeah, and they have to be over. I mean, just think, Jonathan, the money they spent in just North Minneapolis alone between the 94 and Penn. Just think about the millions and millions of dollars that they dumped into that area. There has not been any sufficient. There has not been any sufficient return on investment, or some people would say in the business ROI. And so, I guess my question is, why do we keep allowing this infrastructure, like the stadium, the Twin Stadium?
Right.
It's the closest that a big amount of money got to North Minneapolis. I'm talking about $500 million, if not more, got to Minneapolis was when Amy Klobuchar, Congressman Keith Ellison at the time, the county mayors and the county all signed off on the shot spotters. Okay?
All right.
That was it.
Right.
That was it. you know, because they want to make sure no one around their, you know, beautiful stadium was getting shot up. And if they could, they could. But they put them all over North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, everywhere.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah.
So the thing is, how do we get to the point where we stop the kumbaya moment? We stop this, you know, right now. I know everyone that's listening and everyone that's watching, you've seen this in real time. The infrastructure is tossing out this thing that we need to have conversations about racism, we need to have conversations about colors. That no. That's not the conversations we need to have. That's a distraction, okay? Because if I'm having a conversation about racism and you're the banker, you're not going to give me anything, okay? If I'm having conversations about economic development, uplifting a community, making sure there's finances in there so that community is stable, the banker's going to look at me differently, or that state agency. You know, I got my plop here because I just like to tell these folks in Minnesota, can you see this in there? The chickens have come home to roost, okay?
Yes, they have.
The chickens have come home. This is a chicken, y'all, or rooster or something. Anyway, and not to make light of the situation, but, again, it takes another black man to be killed. Huey Newton, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all these brothers, you know, Hispanic, Latino brothers, black brothers that were killed throughout history to make a change. We need to adjust that matrix. A black man should not have to be killed for some white folks in Minnesota to decide,
that's it.
Yeah, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. Okay,
It shouldn't have to be like a black man being sacrificed for us to be like, all right, you get a little equal rights. You kill Martin Luther King, okay, and now you get civil rights.
Yeah.
And throughout history, all of these leaders, if they were around, and they could be still benefiting us. And this is another thing. Having a strategic, you can't talk to the banker. If I go up to the teller and I say, man, y'all racist, man, I'm telling y'all, man, y'all, well, start going to all that stuff. Sir, do you need a deposit? What are you doing today, right now? And that's been us for so long because we've been just so frustrated within the system. But now how we do that is, I'm so mad, I'm so racist, but you, I'm so upset against racism. What you do is you write legislation and say, I need $250 million to create small businesses for North Minneapolis. Not only that, put it into the school district to hire black teachers that have already. You don't even need no money to hire black teachers. That's the crazy thing about it. And there's tons of black teachers who are highly qualified that are going into the these districts and stuff, but they're not being hired.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for yourself, you are in. You're obviously known throughout the, Minnesota as, you know, a top teacher and stuff like that, and that's good for you, you know. But for all the other, when we look at the numbers as far as the disparity, what in the world is going on? And we have to address these things, pinpoint it, and then when you say the chicken has come home to roost, that's what we're talking about. We're going in there, we're strategically dismantling it, and now we're going to put the correct information, legislation, and keeping it accountable. So groups like the Northside aren't getting millions of dollars and then throwing it away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The state legislature is very cautious of saying this is for black people. And the excuse has been, we can't just say this is for black people. We can't just, you know, that would be unfair to the rest of Minnesota. So, and that's written somewhere. Okay, that it has to be benefit everybody in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, it's time to write legislation where it's targeting, okay? They're always saying, well, where are we going to get the money? I says, well, you need to look at Colorado. They legalized marijuana and had tons and still have tons of money coming in. It's new money that can be routed to those type programs.
Right, they're giving $1,200 per person. Or just a tax break or a rebate check just because they have so much tax money.
Yeah, exactly. So you're looking at models like that are working, but the system does not want you to be any wealthier than they think you should be. And that's part of this hold from the left, you know, and I've seen it too many times, and it's upsetting. And we sit there, like for instance, let's just talk about the city of Minneapolis real quick. City of Minneapolis, the greatest city council and mayor pandering team you ever want to meet in the world, okay?
Right.
So
right.
We know, Jonathan, you and I know that the culture inside of the Minneapolis Police Department is shitty, okay? It's bad.
It's been bad for all, yeah.
Okay, so to change culture, you need to change people and places and sometimes things. But in this case, they go right to the chokehold that police use.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And they said this chokehold is going to stop white policemen from killing black people. That's total BS. Okay?
Well, they got guns still.
Yeah. They got guns. They got fists. They got clubs. They got tasers. So instead of saying, okay, a gun is the last resort, choking is the last resort, taser would be the first choice, but at a minimum boost, then let's put that in the book. The problem with all this pandering stuff is there's already items and training in the training manual for the Minneapolis police that tell them not to do what they just did.
Right.
So
it's already there.
Yeah, it's already there. So why are you pacifying me with this crappy city council legislation that means absolutely nothing, because if any one of the city council mayors and Mayor Fry even read the police training manual, they'd understand that all these procedures have been intact. They're there. They're in the manual. You don't have to come out and say, oh, we're going to stop police from choking people. You idiots. It's already there. The police manual is detailed. It's like being in the military. The military says, if someone's trying to kill you, you shoot back. If you need that person for information or intel, you kneecap that person, okay, until later time when you do what you need to do. And so I had a police officer send me a bunch of screenshots of the training manual. I'll put them online in a minute. But what was very interesting is, like, I was so pissed off at the city of Minneapolis for even thinking about that as a solution. That is not a solution, passing some legislation from the city council that says, hey, you can no longer use a chokehold. And choke is usually hand, okay?
Right.
This was a knee,
right.
Okay?
Right.
This was a knee.
Right.
So,
and like you said, you said it. It's pandering. It's trying to shut up the kumbaya. But what they don't understand, Todd, is that this will not go back to what they've been doing. And that's what we have to understand. Pre-COVID. 19, the same old games are never going to happen again. And like you said, these things are already written in the training book. We know that in human beings, we know that you're not supposed to choke. Make some real legislation that's actually good. Make weed legal in Minneapolis. Make it legal.
Yeah.
Make it legal.
It'll cut down on the crime. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
It'll cut crime in nearly probably 70%. Most of the kids over North Minneapolis, they're robbing each other over $200 bags a week.
Yeah, that's it. Or you done took someone's girlfriend or boyfriend or some shit like that.
Yeah, and people ain't even doing that no more.
Yep. And so with that said, people need to look past this facade of the city of Minneapolis. I haven't gotten to St. Paul yet. Give me a minute. But in the city of Minneapolis, you have the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights. We talked about them last week. About them shredding civil rights complaints, okay?
Yeah.
The Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights did not, it hasn't been in the paper, it hasn't been a press release, did not take action. Some cases within the city of Minneapolis constitute an automatic civil rights investigation.
This is one of those cases.
This is one of those cases. Velma Corvell and the staff at the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights have not done their due diligence. Matter of fact, they've been heinous and malfeasant and tort in their response to address the murder of George Floyd. Okay? That whole agency needs to resign. Everybody up in there. Okay? And so when you look at this in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, now the state Civil Rights, Human Rights Department took more than a week and a half to even come to the table and say, hey, we're going to open an investigation. An investigation that is obviously a part of that, again, I hate to say it, pandering system. Okay, the governor is triggering things so people look the other way. So he goes to the state.
It's a diversion tactic.
Yeah, absolutely. So why wait till a week and a half later when something like this that was saw in national media around the world, and this man's civil rights, I don't care what his character was, okay? I don't care what his background was. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Is that a cop went out of procedure to choke this guy to death with his knee. Okay, not with his hands, with his knee. That's what you do to animals, okay? And and just
that mind you.
What's that? Say that again.
I said something, and also for 10 minutes, mind you.
Yeah, and what shocks me is the level of inconsistent information and even COVID-19. Let's just, I'm going all over the place, Jonathan. Just bear with me and chime in anytime.
No, I hear you. No, I'm with you.
But
totally with you.
But COVID-19 now, it's going to take a week. If we don't see any spikes in the infections and hospitalizations, we know that they've been lying. Okay?
Okay, and Don, okay, and I want to jump in real quick.
Go ahead. Do your thing. Do your thing, bro. Do your thing.
When you said COVID-19, this is what's so crazy to me. You know, we've been hearing about it for so long. It's now out of the news. Well, I know people right now, they have been tested for COVID-19. They're taking the antibody test, and they're not coming out positive. So if that's the case, and so if you're taking it and you're getting positive, and then you take an antibody, and it says you never had it again, right now, that's just whatever scheme they had going on or whatever the case might have been, or if you wanted everybody to follow that scheme, whatever the case was, it's not going to work. And so and George Floyd, it looked like he stopped all of that.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, there's been protests. We didn't see a spike of the protests in front of the governor's mansion where they did not wear masks in the middle of the hot, the most contagious time of this virus.
Yeah.
They didn't even wear masks, and they were kissing and touching each other. So, and no spikes happened. So, I don't know. I don't right now. I think COVID right now is on the back to everybody's mind right now.
Yeah, I would agree. Again, our call number is 347-426-3904. Again, our number is 347-426-3904. We hope that some of the people that are watching would call us and express what you think about everything that's going on, what we're talking about, because there are other valid points, there are other valid voices out there, and we want to make sure that you come on board and you say something sometime. And I know these kind of conversations are few and far in between, which is unfortunate, but, you know, that's why Our Black News is here, to kind of give you some kind of a sense of what's happening and another look. We're not asking you to think like us. We're just asking you to think. And there's a lot going on. And so, again, getting back to the city council, it's unfortunate. You know, I think that some of their political careers up there in city council are over when you do this. And we do have a caller. Amazing here. Let's see who we have on the line. Caller, last four. Oh, this might be Mr. M from his palatial estate in South Minneapolis. Mr. M, are you there?
I am there. I'm here. Good morning, gentlemen. And I am calling from my palatial fortified estate right now. I'm fortified just in case they don't want to come in here. And I want to give kudos to Jonathan. I wouldn't bet against Jonathan if he was going to go against Mike Tyson right now. My money is on Jonathan. Okay, this young man's on the right path. And what we need to do in this city and in the black communities, we need to stand up and say, we sail the ship or the ship don't sail, okay? We need to make sure we're on top of this thing, okay? Now, what this really needs, this is my opinion, okay? And like the great coach Denny Green said, every great thing about America is everybody can have an opinion, okay? But what's even greater is you don't have to listen to it. My opinion is, this whole thing needs a fumigation. We need a whole we need to fumigate these things, the police, the school board, the child protection. We need to fumigate that, okay? We need to clean that up, get that stench out of there. And one of the things we need to do for our community is we need to be together. And I think this is what this program is trying to do. This is what we need to do. And another thing is this Bob Kroll here with the Minneapolis police. See, there's Bob Krolls in many other police forces. Okay, this is not an anomaly here, what's going on. As we saw the Buffalo police, they all quit. They all quit. That's what Bob Kroll should do. He should just quit. Nixon quit. It got so bad, he just said, I just can't do this no more. I quit. We need to put keep that pressure. As they say, pressure will break a water. And if we keep that pressure on like we're doing, I think things will happen. Whether these particular – I'm really anxious to see what's going to happen with these cops. I mean, I'm really anxious to see if there is going to be a conviction. I'm really anxious to see if Keith Ellison can really pull this off here in Minnesota, because it's deep-seated. We know that. And M has been fighting this thing for – and I'm going to tell you, it'll be 70 years in December, and nobody believes it. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask both of you, M and Mr. Mason. There's something very dangerous going on within the Minneapolis City Council also. They want to reconstruct the police department. None of those people that sit on the city council, including the mayor, have the technical or theoretical experience to do that. So what do you replace a police department with?
Well, I would tell you this first, that the public safety, I understand them trying to hold police accountable, but you don't go from just saying, all right, we banned headlocks, to saying we don't want police no more.
Yeah.
There has to be a go-between. I think that obviously we need more police of color. We need different, you know, there's the requirements aren't tied to be a police officer anyway. So maybe some of these people that are in the community that have shown that they have been obviously a leader in the community, class that they're able to take, so they're able to be able to tweak some of their opportunities, because we know that will help bring down a lot of these interactions between police and the community. But I don't think that completely ending a police force is the logical way to go, and that's only going to enrage the other side so much more, who are steadfast on law and order, period, same way.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts, M, on eliminating the Minneapolis police and reconstruction and
people
that never?
My thoughts go back to the time I was growing up. I mean, from my standpoint, Malcolm X told us all about this stuff. I mean, Malcolm X ran this whole thing down. He told us the whole thing. And so what we're saying, you know, with the council saying, well, we're going to disband the police. We're going to disband the police. No. That doesn't make sense. We need to change the culture in the police. We need to make sure that they have people of color in our communities. We need to make sure we have proper training for the police. No, you can't disband the police force. That's a ridiculous statement. But changing that culture is what we need to do.
And as you know, changing culture is very difficult in a system that is ingrained in. Well, how can I say this without? It's ingrained in things that shouldn't happen, attitudes, historical assumptions against black people, the brown people, and whenever a police officer can talk to you any way they want to, like this happened a couple months ago, no big deal, but it is a big deal now that I think about it. This cop was talking to some, you know, young teenagers. It was in Minneapolis, and I was just getting out of my car to go to get a cup of coffee out of the stuff. And, you know, he looked at me and said, what are you looking at? And I looked at him and said, something that needs a mirror. I said something to that effect. Because I'm just looking at it like, what are you talking to? I don't even know you. I didn't do anything to you. I didn't even say hello, which was what I was going to do. But then he asked me, you know, what are you looking at? And I'm like, know, shut the hell up. You know, this is this ridiculous social behaviors that are ingrained in a system, in a hierarchy of a system that just wants to cut your legs off. So when you look at all this, you know, you look at the city of Minneapolis, and you know their public relations arm, the Star and Tribune, right. Banning a chokehold is not the problem.
Right.
That's not the problem. You know, so when you parade this stuff in front of the general public, now there's a lot of people out there. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of folks out there that are celebrating this. Oh, they banned the chokehold. They banned it.
And we're done. Before we talk,
mm-hmm.
We're done. Kumbaya. We want real legislation. We want real results. We want real we want real capital. And that's what we have to focus on. We need capital. In a capitalistic system, you need capital. We need capital to allow our green flourish.
Yep. Hold on, Em and Jonathan. I'm on the wrong mouse. We do have another call. Stand by. Caller, this looks familiar. Is this Mr. Tucker from North Minneapolis?
Yes, Don. Yes. Y'all, listen. I'm a young man, and I've been through a couple of these riots in the early 60s. I seen my friends dead over storefronts. I seen them shoot guys so many times that the bullets kept them in the air. I seen them shoot M16s over our heads. Been there, done that. I seen them tell the chief of police where he can go when they try to chastise him. You're barking up the wrong tree. I don't want to spend 5 minutes changing anybody. I think our concern, or my concern, has been for the last 60 years is to make sure that our community is well informed. It took Joe Freeburg to explain the difference between third-degree murder and second-degree murder and the consequences. You could not charge the other officers with anything if the charge of third-degree murder stands. Joe Freeburg clearly explained that. I seen these talking heads on TV and some of these attorneys that I probably would never use. They do not know how to communicate. They spend too much time trying to be accepted versus being respected. I don't care what the other cultures do. That's not a concern of mine. My concern since the early 60s, and I grew up with this concern, you have to find time and energy to inform our own community. Stop trying to be accepted and stop trying to spend your time and energy changing white folks. You're wasting your time. I've been in the room with many of the people from the 60s, from Fannie Lou Hamer to UA to all of them. They spent their time educating our community. Stop talking about trying to change these white folks. It's a waste of time. It doesn't work. You know, because as Whitney Young said, fear and ignorance is the root of everything. You cannot change somebody's fear. They do not like the so-called Buffalo Soldiers. And mm-hmm. I was told, I had a guy that worked with me, was 6'5 and big as Alan Page. They told us, you can come to our office, but don't bring that big black guy with you. You can't do anything about that. That's ingrained. Stop. I don't care what they do. I make sure that my community is well informed. My mother and father informed me that when I was a young man, 9 years old, hold your head up, look a man in the eyes, take your hands out of your pocket, don't argue with nobody. They had a list of things. They said, don't have your suit coat pockets. Keep them sewed up because there are factors out there that will plant something on you. They had a whole list of things that they taught us in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. We're not spending any time educating our own. Elridge Cleaver, who came to a park 2 blocks away from where I lived at that time, said, y'all going downtown educating white folks. Stop going downtown educating white folks. You're not spending any time educating our own folks. that's where the time and energy. I spent the time educating my kids and people around me and informing them. That's where the time and energy. You got folks downtown don't know which direction it is. Why are you down there talking to a city council person? They already know what the solutions are. The solution is very simple. Have the police officers carry E&O insurance. E&O insurance, errors and omission insurance. And they will not be able to get errors and omission insurance if they have a bad record and complaints against them. The solution is simple. You don't have a desire. You got people in this community and in this country, even when they went overseas, they said blacks didn't invent blues. White folks invented blues. They don't know nothing about Sun House. You know, in the 60s, there was no computers. We stood up all day and all night in the library with the Dewey Decimal System, making sure we were well informed. You know, if you're not informing yourself and you're not educated and you're not knowledgeable, you know, how many out there have read this, I can't think of it now. How many, you know, you got to read. When we were young kids out there, we spent our time in the library.
Interview take place. Get going.
Okay, cool. Go out of there.
And if you're not doing that, you know, come on. How many of us have read the Federalist Papers? How many of us have read the Constitution? How many of us know what to do if you get arrested? If you're not educating our community, you need knowledge. And people who are knowledgeable may not be educated. And educated people may not be knowledgeable. You got to understand how the game is played. And you also have to understand who's the little green man behind the curtain.
The little green man behind the curtain.
Yeah, if you went downtown and talked to one of those politicians, one of those city council people, you know, the last bastion of incompetency is to be a politician in many cases. These little kids don't have no experience. One other thing, John, in the business community, we say whoever has the money and the man with the experience, at the end of the day, the man with the experience end up with the money and the man with the money end up with the experience. Uninformed, all this rhetoric I hear from time to time, it's meaningless. Don't spend any time doing that. You know, how many books have you gave your kids to read? How many of us read the Federalist Papers? How many of us read the Constitution? You know, I've been to night court on many occasions for issues that I don't want to talk about. You know, and I knew enough about the rules that I was able to get out of there. And all that other BS that's being floated around here is just meaningless. Meaningless. Stop.
Look, this is M. Am I back on?
Yeah, you're on.
Well, I would just like to chime in to the gentleman's comments, if I could. White people are gonna be here. We're gonna have to figure this out. Where, you know, what we're seeing now, in my opinion, again, is the old statement. Just to make it a little bit simpler, I will run my ranch or I will wreck it. And that's what we're doing now. That's why all the things are coming in, because they don't let, we're not running things. And we need to figure out how we run things for our community. You know, my dad would say, I don't want to change the game. Just let me play. Just put me in. You know, give me a chance to play. I don't want to change the game. Just let me play. And somehow we can't. They're going to be here. We're going to be here. But we have to find a way where we're going to do our thing. And I really think another thing on the gentleman was saying, you know, about reading. And I would suggest a book that's not very long. It wouldn't take long to read. Malcolm X, By Any Means Necessary. And this is a book where he's being interviewed by all these high-powered TV stations, all these high-powered all these professors, and, you know, he went to prison. He was in prison. This man was in his 30s when he was killed. and you look at his eloquence, you look at his writings, you look at his thought about what we're doing here. So, yeah, I agree. We need to read. We need to read the right things. We need to read the things that are going to help us survive in this world. And I really believe what we're seeing now is because we're not in charge. That's why this wrecking is going on.
Let me say this about Brother Malcolm. The house that my mother lived in, address is 3333 Malcolm X Boulevard. It was two blocks from where Mr. Little lived. Okay? When the Ku Klux Klan came to the neighborhood, they didn't stay long. They didn't stay long. Okay? And they never came back. Okay? You know, some of us are just vicariously associating ourselves with some of those experiences. Some of us have read the autobiography of Malcolm X, Soul on Ice by Elvis Cleaver, Man Child in the Promised Land by Claude Brown, and all of a sudden they vicariously associate themselves with the urban environment. When an older person brung in people, and when they gave a lot of money, he did not hire any black people. He gave the money to people who did not live in the community, and that's what he was supposed to do. Care how much money you give them, they're not going to make sure that that money goes to anybody black. Cut it out.
Never.
It ain't going to happen.
Never.
It ain't going to happen. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And Claude, Dr. Claude Anderson, racism is a fight over economics. It ain't a fight over white people, the amount of melanin you have in your skin. That ain't the fight. The fight is that we don't have any money. And the reason we don't have any money, if you have some money, you can buy politicians like they bought politicians. Period.
Yep.
All this other rhetoric, they gonna do what they want to do.
You're absolutely correct. And Mr. Tucker and M, I have you both on the line. Please stay with me. The call number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904. And my co-host Jonathan had a interview with a print television station and newspaper this morning. So he had to cut out and go do that. And we wish him the best. And he'll be back next week, if not tomorrow or Monday. But before you call, Mr. Tucker, I was talking about the city council action about chokeholds. They're banning the chokehold. And in my mind, I find that a distraction to what's really happening, to what's really going on. And
they've already done the study. Man, when he gets excited, will do crazy things. Come on, they already know all of that stuff. Man in chokehold is a subterfuge. That ain't about shit. That's just BS. Plain and simple BS. That's a subterfuge. That's a sleight of hand. Having you going in there looking at the wrong direction. That's all they know. They don't know anything about anything. Those little kids down there and those don't have no experience. Again, smart, they got some education, they went to some of these fine schools, they know how to talk pretty, as my grandmother used to say. They pretty talkers, talk real pretty, use a bunch of pretty words, but they don't know nothing. Why are you giving them credit for knowing something? And they're not deep thinkers because they do not have any experience.
You're absolutely correct. I wouldn't spend five minutes
talking to them. What are you going to talk
about? Let me ask you this. There's a lot of people in our black community in Minnesota that got up yesterday and today and read the newspaper about the city council passing no chokehold and think that the fight, the war is over. How do we jar those people in the head so they understand that that was cosmetic, that means nothing, that the banning of everything that the cop did to George Floyd is illegal. It's not in the training manual. They don't tell you to do that. And if you do something like that for a limited time, this is just like Ms. Tucker said, it's basically BS. What do we tell to our black audience and listeners and people in the community that think that this is a win?
Let me tell you something. You run the hell away from them. That's what you do. You run the hell away from them. There's an author, W.E.B. Du Bois, and another author, the guy who wrote Another Country, and Nobody Knows My James Baldwin. There's only in any group of people, as Professor Gould said, there are more differences among a group of people than there are between a group of people. Let me say it again. There's more differences among a group of people than there is between a group of people. If you take 100 people from five different cultures, you're going to have 8, 9, 10, 12% of them going to be pretty brilliant. They're going to be 25, 30% at the bottom, and the rest of them going to be in the middle. I don't care what color you are. You're presupposing that these white people are predominant. They're not. Stop that.
No.
You're going to have maybe 5, 10% and percentage above that. You know, I have a brother that didn't finish the eighth grade and passed the exam to a major college. Come on. Some of that stuff is innate, born with it. Come on, you can build on top of it, as Muhammad Ali was a natural fighter, got training, and he built on top of his natural skills. Come on, y'all, leave, as Whitney Young said, leave those white folks alone. Leave them alone and spend time educating your own children, educating our community. That's the issue. You know, white folks went over in Europe and told the Europeans that black folks didn't invent blues. Know nothing about Funhouse. Okay? Know nothing about Lead Belly. They said that white folks invented blues. Come on. Listen, those in power will do everything they have to do to maintain power. And those out of power have to do everything they can do to gain power.
That's it, yeah. See, I just have a huge problem with the Minneapolis City Council and Mayor Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, even thinking that this chokehold thing was appropriate because he has not addressed the culture. And when I saw that, I was really shocked and upset that some of our self-appointed black leadership did not get out in the street, you know, or did not pick up the phone. You know, we have a lot of people, Mr. Tucker, as you know, in our community that claim that they can pick up the phone and call Mayor Fry, that they claim they can pick up the phone and do this and do that, whatever. And they did not do that. For the city
Mayor
of Minneapolis.
Don, let me say this here. I know people in the room with Mayor Fry. I went in the room with this young fella. He's got a lot of potential. He doesn't have any experience. I talked to him, and I recognized he didn't have any experience, so I got the hell away from him. He's not a bad person. He's like a lot of other people in the world. He doesn't have the experience. And he's well-coached. He's well-coached. That's what people that I know that's been in the room with him in the last year said. He's well-coached. Can't discern that this guy is not coached, then you have no business in the room. You know, the discernment is called process and discernment. Okay? Your mother and father said mother wit, being able to discern who you're talking to and what skill set they have. I go in the room with these people, I can tell in 30 seconds that the skill set they have is limited.
Yes, you can tell that pretty quickly.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Don.
We have 5 minutes left on the show. You guys should stay with me. I'm just like, I'm really curious as to find out, because also, Ms. Tucker, you know something about this. The mainstream media, I got calls from 3 different state senators this week. I also got a call for someone that's running for Hennepin County Commissioner. And each one of them wanted to have a meeting in the community to talk about racism.
Shit.
And, yeah, that's basically what I said. I said, you know what? That's not – why are you – it's going to backfire on you, number one. Number two, I don't want to talk to you about something that I've experienced or ran into or dealt with my whole life. I said, if you want to get in a room with me, ask me to bring a plan to you that you'll fund. Okay? I'm not coming there to talk no racism, no touchy-feely, none of that. I said, it's time to do something different, period.
Let me tell you something, Don. When you bring a plan to them, they're going to reject it. Then 6 months later, they're going to come out with that plan on their own.
Exactly.
Racism is a fight over economic resources. I ain't got no money. Bank ain't going to loan me no money. Hey, that's the fight. The fight ain't over whether white folks like me or I like white folks or they don't like me because of the amount of melanin I got in my skin. Ain't none of that shit important. It's important you don't have no money to be able to influence the politicians. Okay? Every time I went to a certain senator's office, I always had a check in my hand, and I'm a little guy. I always had a check in my hand and say, here, I'm a little dog. I'm a micro dog. Okay? It costs money to run for office. You don't have no money to influence no politicians. They ain't going to spend 5 minutes with you.
No, not at all. You're
Come on,
correct.
all that racism. Talk about racism. That's my grandmother used to say, that's a 24-karat fool.
Yes.
Foolish. 24-karat fool.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, the
guy just don't know anything. Mm-hmm. I don't care about nobody liking me.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Respect me. Absolutely. I'm gonna make you respect me.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen. And all the stuff going on in the city of Minneapolis. Now, you know, we can't sit back and watch, but we do have to be vigilant. Process that somehow magically Minnesota is going to reset itself.
Let me tell you something. The difference between, Don, let me interject this. The difference between Minnesota and Mississippi is snow. And there's a difference, as my parents used to say, there's a difference between northern pretentiousness and southern duplicity. There's a difference between northern pretentiousness and southern duplicity. Okay? I don't need to break that down.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. And with 1 minute left, I'd like to say thank you, Mr. Lim and Mr. Tucker, for tuning in and calling in and having the conversation with me today. I'd like to thank Jonathan Mason, who is actually interviewing with a newspaper and television station right now. You've been listening to Our Black News on Blog Talk Radio. We have about 24 seconds left. We're going to let James Brown take us on home. Thanks for listening.
Take your eyes to make a path. our share.